This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Hallelujah. I want to quickly bring us a word of charge, and particularly to the graduates this morning as they continue their journey in their divine ordination and calling. If you have your Bible with me, can you quickly turn with me to Philippians chapter 3? We'll read verse 1 to verse 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. One of the major take home for me from last night's session of this conference by my spirit is the fact that there are alternatives in the flesh for producing might and power. You see, power and might are a necessary requirement for existence, for self-actualization, for attaining fulfillment in life. Everybody wants to be able to be in control of the outcomes of their life. And power is that ability that makes it possible for you to command change, for you to be able to alter your status in life and improve upon it. It's a very legitimate desire to pursue any end that will make it possible for you to thrive, that will make it possible to get out of a difficult situation. We need power to address the everyday realities of life, the everyday circumstances that life wants to corner us into. We need power. We need might. And so these are very legitimate things. But from last night, we saw that it's not only the Spirit of God that can make power and might available. There are other options available, albeit in the flesh. The flesh has so much to promise us in a bid to make a headway in life. Now you see that another interesting thing that we heard from last night's short teaching was the fact that somehow it seems God once in a while want to put it to you that he is the one that is God and you are the one that is man. I don't know if you caught that. That's not a very pleasant experience where you have to wait on God, where you have deadlines to meet, where you have and some things that are desperate needs in your life. And just simply because you want to be respectful, you decide to wait on God. And as you are waiting on God, and you are telling him, this deadline is close. You see a young man, for example, that works in an office, and his rent is due, and he had been given a warning with a deadline to pay before the date, else be thrown into the street. However, where he works, there are shady deals available that all he needs to do is just to look the other way. He will not even be involved in the deals. And for him to just look the other way, he can smile to the bank. But he decides, no, that's not right. I want to honor God in my life. And he's praying, oh God, make a way for me. And the date of the quit notice is approaching. And he's not looking like God heard him. And he adds fasting to the prayer in order to get God's attention. And the deal is also still on offer. And he could easily solve all his problem about the rent issue with this deal. But yet, he is here waiting on God and expecting that God can make a way for him. And as the deadline is approaching and he is now counting days, it's not looking like God is interested in his well-being, and he is face to face with embarrassment. And the deadline is just one more day to go, and he will be thrown into the street. And it even gets more terrible when those offering him the deal are aware of his desperate situation. And they are also aware that the reason why he's refusing their offer is because he claimed to be a Christian. And they come to put it to him that, look, we know you are a man of God, but this is your rent issue. Why do you have to go through this embarrassment? All you need to do is to just look the other way, and everybody is happy. It's a win-win situation. And even the God he's praying to doesn't seem to be concerned about his situation. You see, that's the situation where Hezekiah once found himself, where they told him to yield, and Sennacherib sent his officers to him and say, you see, we are aware of the reason why you don't want to yield, and we are not going to bother you anymore. And his officers went to the guys living on the fence and started speaking to them in the Hebrew tongue. Don't let your king deceive you that your God will deliver you. In fact, we can muster horses for you, and you will not even have enough armies to mount them to fight us. Have you seen a situation where somebody wants to beat you in a game, and he say he will not fight you with both hands? In fact, he will put one of the hands to give you more advantage and still rub it in your eye that this is to prove to you can't do nothing. This your tongues that you are speaking is dry. It's not producing anything. This your faith you are claiming will not get you anywhere. So save yourself the embarrassment. And then the God that you seem to be praying to doesn't even seem to be concerned of. You know, when God rises on your behalf, you can say, let me show to them that my God is alive. But there are these situations that you have the options in the flesh to get yourself out of that difficult place. But you decide by an act of your own will that you will not choose that option. And yet God is not coming through for you. The God for whose sake you are trying to live right. You see, there are other alternatives to power, there are other alternatives to mind. There are other options in the flesh to help you get ahead in life. And the question here is not in whether or not your desire to do well in life, to thrive, to survive is wrong. It is not the case. That desire to labor for meat is actually a legitimate desire. In fact, in John chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus makes that statement when he says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life. That is to say, as far as to labor for meat is concerned, it is a legitimate endeavor. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but labor for the meat. You see, as far as meat is concerned, to labor for it is a legitimate thing. Are we following? But the real issue here is, what are the tools that you are going to engage in this labor? And what kind of focus, what kind of emphasis, what kind of meat are you going to labor for? And so, Paul comes to bring clarity that you need to be aware that there are categories in life. And he began by saying, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. These three categories of people are not people in the world. These are strategic approaches to ministry. Are we following? These are strategic approaches to ministry. The people Paul is warning against here are not godless, worldly people. These people are actually arrowhead ministers. They have pioneered a version of ministry. But the way they engage ministry is best described in the way that Paul puts it here. Beware of dogs. They are those who are getting ahead in ministry. And when you carefully look at them, the best way to describe them is what? Dogs. These are those who they are characterized with perversion in their approach to ministry. For them, purity is old school, is old fashioned. Consecration is not really a big deal in their own approach to ministry. The second category of people is evil workers. Do you remember those that Jesus said they will tell him in that day, we did many great things in your name. We healed in your name. We prophesied in your name. I need to let you know that those claims are true. Those prophecies were accurate. Those healings were practical. The people in their ministry that claimed they were sick and as they ministered, they got healed. Those healings were real. Are we following? But at the end of the day, there was something in the life of the ministers that carried this approach that Jesus saw and said, I have never known you. While you did those great things in my name, you are what? A worker of iniquity. So it's still possible that your approach to ministry can be defined by the Machiavellian principle that says you can use any dubious means as long as you achieve your end such that at the end of the day, the end justifies the means. So where the definition for ministry is defined by result, regardless of the means to this result, this becomes someone who is found in this category of an evil worker. There are results to show. And this is why young believers are very confused and they find it difficult many times when you are trying to bring perspective to say, don't follow this way. And they tell you, what are you saying? Can't you see the result in the ministry? Now, is this to speak against result? No. But we can't use result as an end to justify the means by which the results are gotten. And Paul brings the warning. Beware of the evil worker. And then he went on to the third category to say, beware of the concision. These are men that their practice is legitimate. However, the motive is a challenge. You know, God was the one that entered the covenant of circumcision with Abraham. But a point came that men arose in that bloodline that made big deals of circumcision. And circumcision became a bragging right. We are a community of praying people. But if you are not careful, Satan can edge you to that place where all your endeavor of praying becomes a bragging right. And it's no longer a genuine time of fellowshipping with God. And the reason why you pray 7 hours, you pray 10 hours, is so that you can say, me too. And look at your neighbor and say, you that cannot even pray, you are coming to talk to me. Go and learn how to pray 10 hours first before we can talk. And so Paul says, we are the circumcision. That is to say, at the end of the day, we will still need to labor, like every other person is laboring. However, we are that circumcision that worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We have come to that place where we have found security in Christ. We have found fulfillment in Christ. He is our chief joy. He is who we want to achieve in life. Satan comes two ways to bring you under the pressure to make you accept confidence in the flesh. Because, first of all, if you are going to live by the Spirit, the implication is that you will not be the one in control of your outcomes. You will have to wait on God. Nobody likes to be in that vulnerable place. So on the one hand, Satan reminds you, you see how broke you are, you see how things are difficult, you don't even have a choice but to try the flesh out, because waiting on God to the T. And the other option is, if you are a man of means like Paul was, when you read from verse 4 of Philippians chapter 3, Paul have every reason to brag in the flesh. If you are a man of means, you have a good job, you have a good career, the enemy will want to make you feel that, why do you need to wait on God when you can get this thing done on your own? An occult man that got converted was such a very powerful, diabolic man. And when he gave his life to Christ and began to follow God, one day, one nobody began to insult him. And when he wanted to react, the Holy Ghost said, you can't do that. He said, oh God, you want to make me a woman. Either you are made to be forced to engage the flesh because you are broke, you have nothing and you have no choice, Or the devil will make you feel you are a man of means. Why wait on God when you can make this thing possible? Why become vulnerable? Why look weak? But Paul says, we are that circumcision that worship God in the spirit and find fulfillment. We find security in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. May you receive grace to only trust in the might of the Spirit. God bless you.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.